Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that ever she refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers and one of the peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. People say, Sam, why do you say that every single hour, every single time? It gets boring. Because you need to know what our reference point is, ladies and gentlemen. They tell you that we're anti-government. They lie. We double down and give our lives for the sacred cause of the proper role of constitutional government. So when they tell you that we're anti-government, they absolutely are dishonest, folks. All right? Furthermore, when they tell you that we're violent, they lie again. We're the ones that are working on a website called the Clarion Call for Civility. We're the ones that really say, hey, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. No, we're not racist. They lie again. We're the ones that tell you that we're great because we realize God is above government. And any nation that does that will be blessed immensely. Any nation that turns their back on that will be in serious trouble, regardless of their color of the skin or anything else, ladies and gentlemen. These are simple, fundamental, eternal principles that we adhere to, and we are convinced they work. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, a one and only, or I should say a one-of-a-kind radio broadcast. There are no other talk shows like Liberty Roundtable Live because we promote God, family, and country. We protect life, liberty, and property. We believe in the fundamental principles that make America great, people great, societies great. You know what? When you obey the author of liberty, great things happen. Let's just simply say it that way. And when you don't obey the author of liberty's commandments, guidelines, if you will, blueprint for freedom and happiness and prosperity. Okay, God's plan is a plan of happiness, folks. Make no mistake about that. All right, welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful, absolutely fantastic God, family, country style weekend. I know I did. All right, let's go back to our Friday's broadcast. We had Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with us, RonPaulInstitute.org. We talked about Ron Paul responds to reports that President Biden may restrict interstate travel. We pray Joe doesn't do that. If he does, it would be an absolute disaster. If President Biden were to issue such an order, it would be the most tyrannical act of any president ever in America. Do you want to deploy troops and militarize state lines, Joe? This would further damage the economy and hurt all Americans. Don't do it, Joe. Don't you dare do it, my friend. We also talked about the anti-terrorism screws tighten on the American people. Jacob G. Hornberger wrote that incredible piece. We talked about incitement is the new terrorism. Peter Van Buren writes that piece. Great article. We talked about mindless mask mandates. Likely to do more harm than good, Dr. Joseph Mercola. Joe slips, that's Joe Biden, and tells the truth for once. Yeah, Biden claims we did not have a COVID vaccine when he took office. He's right. Why do I say that? Because the COVID-19 mRNA shots are legally not vaccines. Dr. Joseph Mercola explains this. He says, did you know that the mRNA shots are not actual vaccines in the legal definition of a vaccine, or the medical definition of a vaccine, and I add, or the moral definition of a vaccine? They do not prevent you from getting an infection. They do not prevent the infection's possible spread, or you to be a carrier or a super spreader. They are really gene therapies that are experimental. Let me say that again, that are experimental. That's critical to understand. Second hour of Friday's broadcast, we also had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation, his goal, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website. And we talked about touchdown, not NASA rover lands on Mars to look for signs of ancient life. Mars, folks, is about 140 million miles from Earth. I don't believe we went to Mars for 1 second. The moon is about 250,000 miles from Earth. Yeah, pretty far, huh? 140 million miles to 250,000 miles, and we can't even get back to the moon, folks. All communication, they say, between Mars and Earth goes through satellites. I don't believe that either. If we can get to the moon so easy in the past 50 years plus ago, then why the heck can't we use that as our, quote, median point for communications, huh? Why go way down to satellites? Why aren't we even using the space station? All right, we talked about Kim and Kanye is divorced. Kim files papers after 6 years of marriage. Sad tale to tell. Our prayers are with Kim and Kanye and their children, because the children, don't you know, suffer the most, ladies and gentlemen. That's always true, isn't it? All right, that's a recap of Friday's broadcast. We were live on Saturday, too, by the way. And Sam sounds off and delivers a monologue, an emotional monologue on the Rush Limbaugh tribute, RIP. Rush. Country star John Rich reveals a secret. Did you know that Rush Limbaugh donated $100,000 to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, but only under the condition that it's anonymous? Yeah, John Rich, country star, revealed that, but waited till Rush passed away to reveal the details of that. It just goes to show how much more did Rush do with his money that was good that we don't know about, huh? Don't know, but I suspect that the donations of Rush are endless. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we talked in detail about Bo Snerdly. That is the producer for Rush Limbaugh. Our beloved Rush has returned his talent to God. Yeah. James Golden is his real name. And he's a black gentleman. And he went off in tears saying, and people claim Rush Limbaugh's a racist. It's not true. I'd be probably washing dishes or doing something else if it wasn't for Rush. So James Golden, the black man behind Rush Limbaugh, the guy you probably didn't know much about, but a guy that did a tremendous job. Anyway, great for James Golden. Who will take over the Rush Limbaugh show? I hope it's Donald Trump. Time will tell, but Donald's got to remain relevant. All right, we also talked about my open letter, a clarion call for civility that I wrote back in 2016. And we talked about the cancel culture points to big question. Are students learning about freedom of speech? The cancel culture trying to take all of us out, ladies and gentlemen. Anything moral and good and honorable, they're trying to jettison. It's a sad tale to tell. We also talked about Governor Kristi Noem says there will be no mask mandates in South Dakota. She slams the CDC for their dishonest details on their, quote, double masking idea. Good for Kristi Noem, one of the only stand-up governors in America today. Facebook, now the arbiter of truth on climate change. I guess they're putting together a truth-telling group. Yale, Cambridge experts, etc. They say to debunk myths of global warming or climate change deniers. Art Moore, worldnetdaily.com. So now you're going to have the people jettisoning any fake news. If you deny the climate, it's fake news. They're going to shut you down. Facebook, out of control. School board mocks parents, gets caught. Unfortunate remarks go viral. I guess we're talking about Oakley, California, and I guess a bunch of people had to resign after virtual meetings where the parents are getting trashed goes online. Bad taste, to say the least. And my response to it is very simple. You know, parents, just pull your kids out of the government school. You want those people who mock you and they get caught, so they resign. But you want those people to mock you, and those are the people that are going to teach your children? Have you lost your minds, people? Jettison the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. That is government public education funded by the taxpayer for all. Get rid of it once and for all while you have the chance. I think the shame's on you, parents, if you get mad at the instructors and mad at the school board for mocking you and then you keep your kids in the same cesspool. I hate to say it, but you almost deserve what you get. Cancel culture is coming for me. They are coming for you, and they are coming for us all, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear about that. We also talked about a poll. Is Nancy Pelosi's idea on how to investigate the January 6th, quote, Capitol riot a good idea? No, because we don't trust the people that they would put in place to do the investigations. It'll turn out like a a Ken Starr fiasco, never get to the bottom of anything significant, right? We also talked about a petition to have Cadbury's latest commercial taken off air. Yeah, people that are involved in this effort to get rid of Cadbury's latest commercial are mad because Cadbury had a same-sex kiss on TV. People are mad about it. Amen, I get it. Jimmy Kimmel goes to town on Ted Cruz. There he is, snake on a plane right there. I don't understand why we always turn to government to solve all of our problems in the first place. Why, when the power goes out in Texas, do we look at our government for everything? Why are we thinking Ted Cruz, the senator, he has no skills in power restoration. He has no skills in any ability to do anything to restore the Texans' problem because of a gnarly ice storm. Why look at Ted Cruz and mock him for going to Mexico? Hey, you made the guy rich. Look, we pay congressmen and senators plenty of money. We treat them like rock star elitists, and then we're mad when they behave like it. Folks, you got to look inward a little bit and look in the mirror and go, hey, why are we doing this? Why do we turn these people into rock stars? And then when they can't help us or when they betray us, we mock them. Why do we do that? Sooner we come to our senses and rely on ourselves and our families and our loved ones and our neighbors and we go local. The sooner we do that, the better off we'll be. And until then, we're going to be in nothing but more trouble. All right, Florida women, two of them dress up as grannies to get the vaccines. They got caught. They were only 35 and 44 years old. Why do people want the vaccine so bad? I just don't get it. Also, an Alaskan woman, her name is Shannon Stevens. She went to use the restroom in Alaska in an outhouse, and a bear bit her in the derriere. Oh, yeah, bear got trapped in the porta potty, too, I guess, huh?
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, brother.
Thanks for having me, Sam. I appreciate the opportunity.
Man, we got so much to talk about. Incredible column written by Sarah Lilly. Lowell?
Yeah, she posted this column at AmericanThinker.com just last Thursday. Turns out that, Sam, I don't watch the lamestream news much anymore, but Sarah says this. She says basically that the corporate media have been replaying videos of the assault on the Capitol in Washington, D.C. almost ceaselessly since January 6th, suggesting that it was the worst violence we've seen in American history, worse than 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, she writes. And well, then she asks a very good question. She says, pardon, but why should I now be outraged by violence when it was celebrated by the same news media only a few months ago? She probably was referring, or the news media is referring, I'm sorry, she's probably referring to the violence of last summer all around the country, you know, sponsored by BLM, your local Antifa type. She continues here, isn't rioting the language of the unheard? Why must I mourn the loss of life on January 6th more than that of David Dorn or Oscar Lee Stalwart Jr., the man burned beyond recognition in a Minneapolis pawn shop? Why is the January 6th riot wrong, but burning a Wendy's to the ground is a befitting form of social justice? And end of quote. So, you know, these are very important questions. Experts like Joe Scarborough would say, well, you know, they're not going to confuse the taco stand with the United States Capitol. Really? Asked Lily. So why is the Capitol building more important than a taco stand? She asked. The statists among us would say that the Capitol building is the center of American democracy. Well, this Sarah Lily would say, you find me an unemployed businessman who insists that impeachment is more important than his being able to work his business in the marketplace. Great, great, great point. Lily then asks, why is the Capitol building worthy of more grieving than the taco stand? The affairs that take place inside the Capitol are certainly more influential in public life than the taco stand, .. but not in a good way. And then she mentions, you know, then she launches into what the difference really is. She asks, does the taco stand condemn our sons to death in the Middle East? Does the taco stand bomb civilians in faraway lands? Does the taco stand create economic policy that reduces one's ability to work in a taco stand? Does the taco stand create regulations that make everyday items more expensive for the average civilian? Well, no on all accounts. The taco stand doesn't cause inflation, authorize drone strikes, or chastise me for using gendered language. The taco stand doesn't incessantly scheme for ways to siphon more money out of my pocket so it can promote transgenderism in Pakistan, or here in the U.S., I might add. The taco stand doesn't confiscate my resources to satisfy its insatiable bloodlust to extract the fetuses from lower-class mothers. The taco stand doesn't dictate where I can buy health insurance or how to teach my children math. The taco stand sells me tacos, which is more valuable than anything Congress does. End of quote. Well, she goes on, Sam, but you get the gist of her sentiment. Basically, she makes the point that if the elite in the Capitol want respect, then they better make decisions that warrant our respect. And, of course, I get a kick out of her parting shot. Quote, for a brief moment in time, you, speaking of the congressman, you were treated like the rest of America. Get over it. End of quote. How do you like that column, Sam?
Well, I think it's spot on, number one. And I really think this idea about understanding the language of those who are unheard. And I'm not saying that I'm defending rioting or defending violence or defending the destruction of private or public property or property in general. I'm not defending any of that. But what I am saying is at some point, Ammon Bundy made this statement, and it's just stuck with me. You know, what are we to do, Lowell? When the government's literally this out of control, what do we do? And I don't have time right now to drill into this article, but I want to just give you a quick 30-second on it because I think it relates to the point. Uh-huh. Eric Holder created an Operation Choke Point under Barack Obama. And Operation Choke Point 1.0 was designed to deny conservative groups or groups they, quote, disagree with, their ability to have credit card merchant services. So what it does is it Operation Choke Points their businesses out of existence because they can't receive money. Well, I don't know if you know, Trump got rid of it. Biden just brought it back. It's called Operation Choke Point 2.0, killing businesses with government rules and blacklists. And so at some point, what are we to do when they choke off our money, when they call us terrorists, when they literally frame us and abuse us and lie? We can't get any redress in the courts because they're like, you don't have any standing, or they just toss it out, not even considering the merits of the case. You know, at some point, what are we to do And I think this column, What's So Special About the Capitol, really kind of highlights that reality check. Hey, in the article, there's one phrase that you mentioned, but I want to repeat. For one day, you experience what the rest of us experience. Isn't that kind of how it says it, Lowell?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, for one
so,
day.
I'm not defending any of the wrongs that have been done. Okay, I reject illegality and I reject criminal activity. However, her point has validity to consider. Ammon Bundy's point, what are we to do? Her point, for a day you have to deal with like what the rest of us are dealing with when they riot all over the country and you back those riots, bureaucrats? Okay, what are we to do, Lowell? Anyway, I wrap it up with those kind of comments.
Yeah, that's a great comment, Sam. It's the boiling frog scenario. They turn up the temperature 1 degree at a time, and it's so light. The change in temperature is so slight that here we, the boiling frogs, the frogs in the boiling water, we don't react. You know, we don't think it's serious enough yet to take action, right?
And so, well, and we do think it's serious enough. Even oftentimes, we just don't have the ability to take action, or else they. You know, for example, the Capitol, most people went there with peaceful intent. Look what happened now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're even turning that against us. But, you know, they always claim that Donald Trump tells lie after lie. He's involved in fake news. He's the biggest fake news peddler of anybody. But now you got to have a flashback, Lowell.
This is a great one, too, by the way. I just love how people have, you know, some people have such a good memory and they're able to connect the dots in a way that is so instructive, so illuminating. So let's see what Fauci said about quarantines in 2014. That's just a little over 6.5 years ago, Sam. In 2014, at the height of the Ebola outbreak in Africa, right? And let's go back, think about that. I don't know that I really was cognizant of this Ebola outbreak, but Ebola has a 40% case fatality rate. A CFR, they call it, a case fatality rate of 40% case fatality rate. That's how bad Ebola was, right? Well, there was concerns about Ebola spreading across America from the healthcare workers who went to Africa to help those that were suffering from Ebola. Well, guess what? A CFR of 40% is at least 40 times higher than the CFR for COVID-19, folks. Isn't that striking? 40% more dangerous virus in Ebola than in COVID-19. And Ebola had a multi-week incubation period, just like COVID-19. Well, so state governors in 2014, they quarantined healthcare workers who were returning to the U.S. from Africa, where Ebola virus was on the rampage. Well, Dr. Fauci wasn't happy about the fact that his colleagues were being subject to quarantine. He went on a media blitz. He hammered the quarantine policies that had been issued in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Virginia, Maryland, Georgia, and Florida, and other states, declaring them, quote, unscientific, unquote, and, quote, draconian, end quote. Go with the science, Fauci advised. You can monitor them, meaning the healthcare workers, in multiple different ways, he said. You don't have to quarantine them. In other words, he was defending his colleagues in the medical profession, saying, they didn't need quarantine after working among people who were infected with the Ebola virus, which was 40 times as nasty as COVID-19.
Yeah, but see, they'll never come out with a scientific reality and hold Fauci's feet to the fire. They'll let him lie. Why? Because it promotes vaccines. It promotes control of you and I. And it's about forcing a financial reset, a global jubilee reset, if you will. That's what they're really gunning for. And what it amounts to is they want to control all of us. They want us all to be just panicked down in fear. And through that, then they want to extract this global governance they've been seeking for literally since Cain killed Abel, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Fauci, he reasoned, boy, if we quarantine our healthcare professionals on their way back to the U.S., then there's going to be fewer healthcare workers wanting to go to Africa, right? If you have to quarantine for 2 weeks or whatever on your way back. In fact, Fauci, who had personally been in close contact with infected Ebola patients, did not quarantine prior to his 5 TV appearances, morning shows basically, in October of 2014. Huh. Well, great to go back in the time.
A couple of short years later, he betrays us all, and the mainstream backs him in doing so. Shame on them all, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United States has surpassed 500,000 COVID-19 deaths almost a year after the first was reported. The good news, fatalities have slowed dramatically. This week's daily average is almost 40% decrease from that of the previous week. That's according to data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. Some 8.8 million people in Texas, about a third of the state's population, still has issues with their water supply as of Sunday evening. Millions of Texans are still being advised to boil water before using, though all power plants are now back online. Officials in Houston, Texas, the biggest city in the state, said water there was safe to use without boiling. The painting The Scream by Edvard Munch is the second most recognizable work of art ever created, right behind Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. Recently, curators announced text in the upper left corner of the masterpiece reads, "Could only have been painted by a madman," that has been authenticated to the artist. This is USA Radio News.
It may soon be the biggest issue of our time, the NRA and your gun freedoms. President Biden says he will defeat the NRA. And there are efforts to limit your guns, tax them, and even put the NRA out of business permanently. All this week, Newsmax TV's Stinchfield tells the real story about Joe Biden's war on the NRA. Watch Stinchfield at 8 p.m. Eastern to find out how the NRA is fighting back. Stinchfield is unafraid to tell you the truth. Everyone is tuning in. Newsmax TV is now the fourth highest-rated cable news channel. It's on all major cable systems. Check your cable guide. If they don't carry Newsmax, call them. Or just download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or smart TV and watch us anywhere. So watch Newsmax for Stinchfield and real news you can trust. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax all the time. You should too.
Actress Olivia Munn has props for the NYPD and everyone on social media who cared. USA Radio News' Michael Fortier reports.
The actress is friends with a man whose mother was attacked this week by a man in a New York City street in Flushing. Munn shared with her hundreds of thousands of social media followers a surveillance video of the attack on the 52-year-old woman. A suspect was arrested Thursday, and Munn says it's due in part to the internet.
It was an amazing moment of just seeing how powerful the collective can be when we kind of, you know, become an army together.
Munn on CNN Friday, she credits the NYPD for their quick response.
The fact that I could DM the NYPD on social media and say, hey, this happened to my friend's mom. Here are some pictures. Can you help me amplify this? I got a response right away, and they had a wanted poster out, and they were on top of it.
Munn's hearing of the arrest was an emotional moment for her. The victim, by the way, needed 10 stitches, but her son says she's doing okay. For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with me. We're talking about this serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. Fauci's out of control. And you know what? There was a way bigger potential for pandemic back in the day in 2014, and he simply rejected every attempt by anybody to try to slow it or to try to quarantine people or try to... And he was adamant, bold. He wasn't willing to quarantine or wear a mask or do anything of the sort. Literally 6 years later, completely 180-degree bout face. Why? Lowell?
Well, that's a good question, Sam. I think he has a monetary interest in the vaccine, in Big Pharma. He works for him, I'm sure, and probably going to benefit personally the more vaccines that are sold by Big Pharma. And, you know, that's I'm sure that's part of it, just the self-interest in getting money. Maybe he wants to rule the world. Maybe he wants the WHO to rule the world. Maybe he's in favor of the technocracy that wants to rule the world. And so, I don't know, but it's a darn good question, Sam.
And, right, ladies and gentlemen, we just wanted to promote that flashback so you know that's what's really the truth. And it's interesting that good people are catching the bureaucrats at doing this and stuff. They don't want you to believe that was the narrative of Fauci before. You know, it's also interesting, Fauci at the start said, no, you don't need to wear masks. Come on, they don't work. And then later he goes, well, you know what? Masks work. You got to wear one. The only reason I lied to you is because I had to, because we didn't want healthcare workers not to have the masks. And so, but this is an example. You just can't trust this guy. The guy's literally a hack. Okay? first do no harm. This guy's peddling things, pretending they're vaccines when they're not. He's literally giving advice. It's 180 degrees different from the science. Then he's running around telling us we're going to follow the science. I don't know what to do with people like this, lol, because the media protects them.
Yeah, and they spin, they continue to spin what they say. So Tony Fauci, he says one thing, they spin that, and you know, and they're not going to go back and do the legwork to find out what he said 6 years ago. But, you know, as our author at Ron Paul Institute sure did, and it sure is illuminating, because Fauci just, you know, says one thing 1 year and another thing the next year, depending on whether it's going to benefit him or not. And you can't trust a person like that. Can't trust Fauci. He's a liar.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that other than to say, hey, that's the truth. We're willing to tell you the truth. Where's the mainstream press when you need it most, ladies and gentlemen? All right, central planning of your immune system is dangerous, writes Davis Taylor. This really relates to Anthony Fauci. He wants to literally be in control of your body, and that's, I think, what it's about, lol.
Yeah, and I think Bill Gates is in on that, too. You know, I like this article because this Davis Taylor, who wrote the article, he compares Big Pharma's approach to your immune system with the collectivist approach to a centrally planned economy. Now, I would never have made that connection, you know, maybe not in a million years. I mean, I don't know. It's just a brand new thought, but boy, is it an apt thought, meaning a meaningful, astute thought. An Austrian economist knows that government intervention in the marketplace messes things up, just messes them up. Isn't that what Big Pharma is peddling here? They want everyone to get the COVID-19 vaccine, which, as we discussed last week, Sam, is not really a vaccine. It's just gene therapy treatment, very much akin to chemotherapy. Anyway, that approach is a one-size-fits-all approach. It's a centrally planned approach to your immune system, right? You as an individual, Sam, whose body chemistry differs from mine and from every other person on the planet, in a free market, a consumer is free to purchase whatever is available. Not everyone is forced to purchase the same thing. Think about it, right? In a centrally planned economy, some supposedly smart guys at the top decide what's going to be available for sale in the marketplace because they dictate what will be produced. Very little choice, very little creativity, very little productivity, and very little prosperity, right? So similarly, in a free market, people make individual health choices, those which are suited to their needs and tailored to their body chemistry. That's what I do when I make a health choice.
But in and often tailored to their viewpoints or perception of things, right?
Uh-huh.
A lot of people do study, they intelligently think or believe. For example, I've got a sister-in-law, you know, she loves and believes in the vaccines.
Uh-huh.
And she's even hesitant to tell me that she took one. She's like, well, you know, I hope this is okay to say, but I took one. And I'm like, of course it's okay to say. The only problem I'll have is if you force me to get one. And we both laughed and let it go. Okay, that's the way it is, folks. That's okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but in a centrally planned economy, Sam, or where the central planners want to intervene in your immune system, they want to decide what your immune system needs, and so they deliver millions of doses of this so-called vaccine for everyone. Just as government intervention fouls things up in the marketplace, they foul things up in the immune system. I just love the comparison between, you know, a centrally planned economy and a centrally planned immune system, Sam. It just strikes me as a funny bone, but it's so true. It's not a laughing matter, but it's just so true. I mean, you look at the Austrian school, the example after example of how state intervention causes unintended consequences and ignores opportunity costs. For example, rent controls reduce the incentive to own rental property. Right, if you can't charge a market price for your rental property, you're not incentivized to own rental property, and of course that shrinks the supply of rental units and ultimately hurts those who need the help the most. Similarly, you got the minimum wage laws; they make labor more expensive, which reduces opportunities for unskilled labor. It hurts the very people the legislation was designed to help. Examples of economic opportunity cost. That's when the state usurps funds from businesses through taxation, using the funds to pay bureaucrat salaries or for some other purpose, but at the cost of the businesses having fewer funds to hire new employees or to buy new capital equipment, right? So those are the examples from our economy where state intervention causes unintended consequences, and in fact, hurting the very people they were supposedly designed to help. Well, it's very same thing happens in Big Pharma. Big Pharma, they've been pouring money into the campaign coffers of the politicians for years, decades, Sam. Big Pharma has been buying the favor of government intervention for years.
Yes, they have. And we'll get into that in just a second. But before we do,
yeah,
I want to really highlight this idea. You know, who's in charge of Sam Bushman's immune system? Sam Bushman or Tony? Tony Fauci, right? And so here's the reality, folks. Just as natural laws enforce and drive the economy, so does it in the human body, in the immune system, all right? Natural law is key. Now, we can debate on what we believe natural law is, but I believe in natural herd immunity. I believe one of the great ways that God protects us all is, you know what? Some people get sick. It's part of life. It's part of the human experience. But what happens is when people develop a herd immunity, a natural herd immunity, they have, you might call it God's natural vaccine. Because if we're going to call, you know, human testing and, you know, gene therapies vaccines, then we could certainly call, you know, getting a little bit of the disease, getting sick, and then passing these traits to society through herd immunity. Okay, if we're going to call it vaccines, we can call anything a vaccine. So my point being, why not just rely on God? Now, these natural laws come into play here. Fauci would like to circumvent those and pretend he's God. And I reject his notion. So natural law is one of the keys here that we need to understand. And they're trying to circumvent natural law, Lowell.
That's true. They're trying to circumvent the body's natural defenses by injecting you know, this vaccine material directly into your bloodstream, into your musculature. And because it circumvents the body's natural defenses, then it's counterproductive. It's intervention into your immune system with serious repercussions. And let me just mention a couple of those down later here in the article. I'm jumping down to unintended consequences.
Let me stop you there, though, and I think we give them too much credit when we say unintended consequences. I think in the past it might have been unintended consequences years and years and years ago in the 1800s and 1900s when vaccines started to come, you know, on the market and stuff like that, maybe unintended consequences. But now I believe they're intended consequences. They know full well what they're doing. We'll prove it in seconds, Lowell.
Excellent, yes. For example, those receiving a live virus attenuated vaccine can shed vaccine strain live virus in their body fluids, potentially causing the vaccine strain virus to be transmitted to others. In fact, in 2018, the FDA posted a warning that immunocompromised persons and pregnant women should avoid those administered Verivax for up to 6 weeks after vaccination, Sam. Many unintended consequences.
They admit it, sometimes unintended, sometimes intended consequences. But ladies and gentlemen, let's dig in further about what government has done to pretend different from the truth.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we talk about unintended consequences, and I think a lot of times people are well-meaning and there are unintended consequences to their actions, but in many cases I think there are intended consequences. And after a while, you've got to double down and say they must intend for this to happen because it happens continually. All right? Flashback in 2014, Fauci literally described Ebola quarantines as draconian, even though the Ebola virus way, way, way more deadly and viral than COVID by far. But hey, six short years later, Fauci has a 180 degrees. That can't be lost on the gentleman. All right. Central planning of our immune systems are a serious problem. It's dangerous, writes Davis Taylor. And amen, is that true? But listen, ladies and gentlemen, they know. Let me say it again. They know. Let me say it one more time. They know how evil some of these vaccines are, and the proof is in the pudding. Manufacturers are shielded from liability, lol.
Under the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which I believe was passed in 1968 and by the U.S. Congress and signed by a president into law. And it's taxpayers, not the companies that manufacture the vaccines. It's the taxpayers who fund any award of any damages awarded by that vaccine. Yes, the DOG defends against the claims, basically arguing that the injuries were not caused by vaccines and that compensation, therefore, should be denied. But occasionally, a family will win a case and they get an award, a monetary award, under this National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And, in fact, over $4 billion has been paid out.
Now stop. Say that number again, because this is not pocket change, baby.
Yeah, $4 billion. That's not a million. We're talking $4 billion. A billion is 1,000 times more than a million. $4 billion has been paid out under this program for claims of harm against, you know, caused by the vaccine.
Well, not only claims of harm, but confirm that they agree there's harm. That's why the payout. So let's be clear. It's a claim of harm, but also they agree that it's harm. Now, most cases never even get to the government or the compensation fund in this first place. Some say anywhere from 2 to 5% get there at all. Most of them are denied. So this is after people realize they can even go to the compensation fund, after a private secret court, after the case is not denied because it's so egregious they've got to admit to it, then $4 billion have been paid out. So it is shocking, the damage done by vaccinations. If we were to have a holistic picture of that, it would be off the charts, lol.
You're absolutely right, Sam. The government steals your money by through taxation to purchase vaccines, which enriches the pharmaceutical companies, and then indemnifies those pharmaceutical companies from harm and awards some of your taxpayer money to these families who were harmed by the vaccine. It's insidious, Sam, this relationship that the government has with Big Pharma. But, you know, we should have known they're the biggest contributors to the campaign coffers of the politicians in Congress. So we really should have known. Well, what are some other big dangers? Well, inadequate safety testing. Federal agencies are supposed to regulate the vaccine industry. They're simply not doing their job. For example, the CDC has an advisory committee on the use of vaccines. And the CDC has permitted members of the committee with financial ties to the vaccine industry, meaning shareholders in these companies, Big Pharma, those with financial conflicts of interest to participate in the committee's deliberations regarding vaccine use. Well, folks, this may explain why government safety testing requirements for vaccines are not rigorous. They are not. They're simply not rigorous. There is a revolving door between U.S. agencies and vaccine makers. Julie Gerbending, I guess is her last name.
Yeah, I think it's Gerbending. Yeah.
Gerbending was director of the CDC for 7 years, from 2002 to 2009. Then she took a position where? As the head of Merck's vaccine division after she left the CDC. Interesting, huh? Vaccine safety trials are generally designed conducted by the vaccine manufacturers themselves, not some third party. I mean, they really need to go to, like, what the model, underwriter's laboratory, right? That's a third party, independently test the safety of products. And if you don't have UL stamped on your product, it really doesn't get sold. Nobody's willing to market it or sell it.
Well, and that's then you've really got the fake Food and Drug Administration and some of these other groups that buy off on all this, making you believe it's safe and effective. So what you really have is a fake news government stamp of acceptance or approval or certification, which creates false trust and false hope. And here's why I say that it's intended consequences. Because they know this. When you shield manufacturers from liability and $4 billion of taxpayers have been on the line, why are you doing that if they're safe and effective?
Exactly. Obviously, they're not safe and effective if we're paying out $4 billion for
those cases. Well, why do you have a secret court everybody has to go to? And why is it every single case challenged by your federal government? And then furthermore, it goes on, why are these companies, why can you not even sue them? Why can you not even say, I want the truth to come out on this? Why can't you not subpoena records like normal court cases? Okay, they have denied your redress of grievance. My question is, why would they violate the First Amendment so drastically on this?
They got something to hide, Sam.
Roger that, sir. And that is the point. And that's why I say you can't say that it's unintended consequences, because these are intended. They intend you to not know the truth. They intend to deceive you and force this agenda down your throat, right?
And I think the Andrew Wakefield experience is very much indicative of what happens to truth tellers in the medical profession, right? He was rounded. He was pounded out of his profession. They took his license simply because he made the
he was a rock star before he became a whistleblower, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Now he's supposedly a discredited ne'er-do-well. See the way they go?
That's right. He simply questioned the efficacy and the safety of the MMR vaccine in the UK. That's all he did. He simply questioned it. And then they pulled his license, and now he's a rock star whistleblower. But, he's not the only one. They're going after other doctors and professionals now, too, who are blowing the whistle. There was a great article about that we could have talked about.
So the point is, the vaccine debate has a First Amendment violation like you would not believe, ladies and gentlemen, in your flat-out denial of an appropriate redress of grievances. You can't have discovery. You can't. I mean, these people are shielded like no other industry, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say it again, like no other industry, lol.
Yeah, absolutely right. They're also engaged in the state level in eliminating the exemption that you can get for vaccination. In other words, in most states, you can declare either a religious exemption or a medical exemption or a philosophical exemption to getting the vaccine to your children. But turns out New York, Washington State, Maine, California, or several of the states have recently shrunk or eliminated these exemptions. Well, Big Pharma is behind that movement. They want everyone to get their product, not just the children. In fact, they want adults. They want the force of government, the barrel of a gun, to accomplish their design. They want to impose a vaccine mandate because it means more money to them. And other countries have done this already, Sam. Italy, France, Romania, Germany, Argentina. Well, Big Pharma wants the U.S. to follow suit. And they Argentina was the one that said, you're not going to be able to, this is December of 2018, right? This is three years ago. They enacted a law mandating its entire 20 vaccine schedule upon both children and adults. with proof of vaccination required not only to attend school, but also to obtain important government documents such as passports, driver's licenses, and Argentina's national identity documents. Well, some believe, I believe, among many, that Argentina's vaccine policy may serve as a blueprint for other countries, including the United States. Yep, some people believe that COVID-19 infections of 2020 will be the basis for a global push for vaccine mandates. That's the way it's looking to me, Sam. They want to eliminate all the reasons that you and I have for rejecting the vaccine. They want to impose those, and they're going to do it through business. They're going to make it hard to live life in a so-called normal way if you don't get the vaccine or approve that you have the antigen for that particular disease.
And it all goes down on a violation of the First Amendment, folks. If you cannot get a redress of grievance, okay, if I can't go through a discovery phase in court when I've been harmed, if I can't hold that company liable via transparency and via discovery, and I don't have my First Amendment rights of discovery. Remember, there's five fundamental realities in the First Amendment. Okay, y'all know about free speech and freedom of religion and this kind of stuff, right? Freedom to assemble or whatever. What about the redress of grievance one? Right? Isn't one of the First Amendment realities is, hey, you can try to go to court and have your day?
Yeah.
Well, that's being denied by this vaccine reality, ladies and gentlemen. You kind of think, man, vaccines and the First Amendment? Sam, what are you talking about? Well, hey, $4 billion has been paid out in secret court cases based on a government program, right, to basically prevent people from knowing about and or getting a redress of grievance relating to harm based on vaccines. All right, vaccination manufacturers are shielded from liability under the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. Okay, so Congress has literally violated your First Amendment by putting this in place. Well, this is serious business.
Exactly right, Sam.
And they're violating freedom of the press because how much can you report on this? If I report too much on this, then they're going to, put me up on charges saying that I'm peddling fake news law? They're going to basically then use the Operation Choke Point to deny any donations that I get so that I don't have any money? I mean, where do we go?
Yeah, that's right, man. If they have a choke point like a PayPal or something, and you get donations through PayPal, then they can confiscate that. They can freeze that those funds that you would otherwise have gotten through PayPal because they'll just exercise their muscle and do that. That's what they've done to other people. They can do it to you. And if not, they're turning up the heat too. By the way, Sam, you know it's not just the current vaccine schedule. So in 1983, the CDC recommended 24 doses of 7 childhood vaccines. That was before the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. Now, here is 20, 30, 40 years later, the CDC recommends over 70 doses of 16 vaccines by age 18. And there are over 250 new vaccines being developed by Big Pharma. Surely, many of these will be added to the schedule as well. And then, and perhaps even more scary, the federal vaccine mandates will likely lay the groundwork for federal mandates of other medical intervention, not just vaccine. Think about that.
But it's all for your good, they lie.
That's terrible. So violation of rights, unintended consequences, opportunity costs, distortion of history. See, they don't want you to know that death rate from infectious diseases plummeted before the widespread use of vaccines, Sam. 74% decline in serious and death rates from infectious diseases before vaccines came onto the scene. But you won't hear them talk about that, Sam.
Well, they never let a good opportunity go to waste, did they? They jumped on and took credit for it and deceived the people, and they've been lying for years.
Oh, man.
And now we're starting to catch them at their lies when we prove that they've already paid out $4 billion. And while they tell you they're safe and effective, why are they shielding these companies from liability then? I don't know how you could be more clear and more simple. They're committing a fraud, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lowell. We'll talk soon. Friday, buddy.
You're welcome, Sam.
There you go. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. God save the Republic, ladies and gentlemen.